Just quickly, my name's Tom Brown. It's brilliant to be here. I am from Grace Church Sydenham, which is in southeast London. Married to Christabel, got two kids, and I'm from New Zealand, hence the strange accent. Okay. But hopefully you can understand me by now, by the end of this sentence. But the question we're going to be thinking about today is, are Christians really equipped to make it to the end? Now, if you've been with us for this series in Hebrews, we've been seeing that the Christian journey is not an easy stroll through Green Park on a sunny spring day like today. It's an endurance race through the wilderness, striving forward with every fibre and sinew of our being to finish the race. We are to be committed Christians who keep going. As it says in verse 14, we have to hold fast to our confession about Jesus. Christians are to keep speaking and sticking their necks out for Jesus. But how? How on earth can we do that when our experience might tell us the opposite? And when we just feel like giving up? When faced with temptation? When faced with hardship? And last week in chapter 4, we saw that the stakes are really high if we want to keep going. There's a very real danger that we won't make it. We saw the sobering image of Israel failing to make it to the promised land because they didn't listen. They didn't obey God. Christians need to keep listening to Jesus as long as it's today. Perhaps you noticed reading through Hebrews 3 and 4 just how many times today is repeated. Well, it's today, and we're listening to Jesus. Check. Great stuff. Well, perhaps you don't need to be told that it's tough going as a Christian. I asked my boss, who's the minister of our church, what's the hardest thing about being a Christian, and he said quite matter-of-factly, keeping going every day. Suffering and hardship is par for the course for the Christian. In Hebrews, we see in the context there, they faced imprisonment. And now we may not face that kind of persecution, but we do see persecution around the world. Christians in Nigeria, Sudan, Iran. Christian suffering for us, it may be different to that. But when facing the question of whether we're going to stick our neck out for Jesus at work, is it worth it to suffer? If it means missing out on that promotion, making a little extra money for an easier life. If we're going to confidently hold fast to Jesus and make it to the end, it's very clear from experience that we need help. Now, me and my wife, we bumped into a friend just the other day. Been a long time since my wife had seen her. They served together on a Christian camp growing up as a teenager. And now that friend, sadly, has fallen away from Jesus. Now, how do we make sure that we don't fall away as Christians in a similar way? We need help if we're going to have any hope of making it to the end. Now, perhaps you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. I'm so glad that you're here. And maybe you're looking at Hebrews and maybe you're looking at Christians around you and you're thinking, I'm not sure I can go through what Christians go through. Well, we've been seeing in Hebrews that Christians by themselves won't make it to the end. We need help. We've been seeing wonderfully that Jesus is our high priest. And it's really important that he's our high priest because it means that in him we have everything we need to make it to the end. But how do we know that Jesus is our high priest, that who can really help us home, that the Christian is equipped to make it to the end? Well, we're going to see that Jesus can help because he's God's high priest. He is qualified. Wonderfully, he gets God's big accredited tick. He can help. Now, perhaps you've had that experience of looking for a tradesperson, like an electrician or a plumber. Now, we recently had the rigmarole of trying to find a plumber to fix a leaky tap. And I think I can say this because my brother's an electrician, but there are plenty of cowboys out there. So we wanted to find somebody that we could trust. Now, one way to do that is to go on a website like Checkatrade. I wonder if you've gone on Checkatrade before. And you go through the list of registered plumbers with kind of ticks to show that they're legit, that they're 100% qualified to help. Well, we're wonderfully going to see that Jesus is 100% qualified to help. He's God's high priest who comes with, if you like, all of God's accredited ticks, God's perfect high priest who can help us home. Now, the notes are on the sheet there, but for point one, we've got draw near with confidence. Jesus, our high priest, can help us. Point one, because he empathizes. Look with me at verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or empathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our great high priest who has passed through the heavens. It's an extraordinary summary statement of the salvation that Jesus, the Son of God, has objectively accomplished. The job of the Old Testament priest was to intercede for the people, and they were the only ones who were allowed to pass behind the temple curtain to have access to God when they atoned for the sins of the people. But Jesus' atonement is so total that he has passed through the heavens. It's really easy to glaze over that. Anyone trusting in Jesus today has complete access to God through Jesus. So this really is the priest who can help us home. It's an amazing truth. But that may make us feel distant from Jesus, that he's somehow up there and we're down here. But that's not the case, because we have, as the verses say, a high priest who can sympathize, who can empathize. And now my wife's celiac. Okay, are there any celiacs here today? Okay, no one's celiac. Okay, it just means that she can't eat gluten. Okay, and so if she has the tiniest bit of gluten, that will completely knock her out. So she can't have amazing things like croissants or pasta. Now, she, in order to go for help, she can go to the doctor, which can be helpful to begin with, but when it comes to living with the disease every single day, she's found it actually more useful to go to those dietitians who are dedicated and those who are fellow celiacs, those who really know what they're talking about, because they live with the struggle every day, because they know what it's like. They can empathize. Well, Jesus, our high priest, he empathizes with us. Perhaps you throw your hands up during the day and you just say something like, no one knows what I'm going through. Perhaps on those darkest days when it's hardest to keep going as a Christian, there's the temptation to think that no one can really help because no one knows what I'm going through. Well, because Jesus is our empathetic high priest, he knows exactly what we're going through. And in chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, that's because Jesus is like the priests in the Old Testament, that he was appointed by God to act on behalf of the people. Look at verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. He can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Jesus, our high priest, can help us because he was really like us. He knows what we're going through because he was really human. It's easy to glaze over the fact that Jesus is human. That's what makes Christianity unique from every other religion, philosophy, or self-help book. We have a God who steps into humanity to help us. Jesus knows what we're going through. To become our ultimate high priest, he had to become human like us, to take on our weak, fleshy frame. It's the wonder of the incarnation. Even though Jesus was fully God, he knows the full human experience with all its limitedness, all its trials, all its tribulations, to the nth degree. Now look at what it says in the rest of verse 15. Jesus was tempted as we are in every respect, yet without sin. And notice the writer doesn't want us to miss Jesus' sinlessness when talking about temptation. He was just like us. Jesus faced temptation, but unlike us, he resisted. Now, Jesus isn't some self-righteous person telling us what to do despite not really understanding why we might be tempted. He knows exactly what we're going through. But unlike us, he didn't give in. And that's why he's the one who can help us. Now, Jesus resisted right down to the end. He drank the cup of God's wrath, his Father's wrath, right down to the dregs. And he passed with flying colors into heaven. He blazed the trail for us home. And that's why he's equipped to help us along this difficult journey home. And when it's tough and we're tempted to stop going for Jesus, when we're tempted to give in to that sin, when we're tempted perhaps at work or in the office, wherever we might be, to save face rather than tell people about our faith, because we might not be liked. Jesus said that we'd be hated because he was hated first. Jesus knows. If we've ever been tempted to shrink back rather than strive and stick out and share our faith in Jesus, even if it means being rejected and ridiculed again and again and again, Jesus knows. And Jesus is able to empathize with you in every respect, whatever we're going through. And we see that in Jesus' time on earth, don't we, as we reflect on the accounts of his life. He went through the human gauntlet. Exhaustion, hunger, being misunderstood by family and friends, being despised and rejected, being betrayed, being abandoned by his followers, tried in an unjust court, innocent and yet tortured by the state and executed as a criminal. Jesus knows the full degree of human suffering. Now, it's horrific to think about the numbers of Christians right now who are being persecuted and killed for their faith. Just over Easter, at least 33 are killed in Nigeria. Jesus knows. Jesus suffers with them. Jesus empathizes. And so, verse 16, they can confidently draw near to their high priest to receive mercy and grace in their time of need. And we can too. Now, whether we're suffering now for being a Christian or whether we're suffering in the future, we can receive help in our time of need. We can come to Jesus. Everybody wants that perfect, empathetic friend, don't they? You know, perhaps you have that privilege of having somebody that you can come to about anything. And when things get tough, you know, these are the people that we gravitate towards, don't we? If they're not glib with us. They won't brush us off. They won't tell us just to suck it up and get on with it. Well, we have that and more in Jesus. Our great high priest, who is able to empathize with our weaknesses in every respect, has been tempted as we are, and yet is without sin. And so verse 16, this is the invitation for us today. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace and to help in time of need. Now, I wonder how good we are at asking for help through the day. Now, I think I can say this because I'm a Kiwi, about British culture, maybe. You can tell me afterwards. But there's that kind of stoicism, that kind of stiff upper lip approach to getting through life, that kind of keep calm and carry on approach. Now, it's admirable to keep going no matter what, that kind of wartime spirit. But the problem with that attitude, I think, is that I can always do this, or that attitude where you think you can always do this, on your own, even when we can't. It's that sense that I don't ask for help when you need it. It's kind of true of most work environments that kind of get through the day with a stiff upper lip and you're slow to ask for help. But that's not the Christian approach. We shouldn't have a stiff upper lip with Jesus because he is our empathetic high priest. We can draw near with a soft upper lip. We can confidently ask for help. There's no need to kind of keep calm and carry on and then vent our frustrations to some poor person later on. We can keep calm and pray on to the one who knows, who can help us keep going to the end. Can you imagine the difference it would make to our lives if we prayed knowing that Jesus knows what we're going through? If we poured out our stresses, our frustrations, our complaints to him, knowing that he can help us. Imagine the difference in our workplaces if we had an HR like that. Imagine what it would be like at home. What difference it would make to our lives. Let's not make Jesus the last resort, but the first port of call and when we need help. Now, our car broke down quite recently, and we called up AA, Roadside Assistance, as you do, and we waited for a very, very long time, and they eventually showed up. Now, Jesus is not like that. Jesus is on the throne right now, praying for us. He's in the Father's ear, if you like, interceding for you right now, 24/7, a 24/7 helpline. We don't need to struggle on alone. Jesus is with us in temptation, hardship, despair. He's there to help us. So have confidence. Draw near in prayer. In our weaknesses, draw near. When our failures are overwhelming, draw near. In our struggle with sin, draw near with confidence. Receive mercy, find grace. Jesus, your high priest, knows. Jesus is journeying with you. He's ready to help you home. Okay, so going back to that kind of checker trade rating, how is Jesus doing on the high priest help rating? Well, he's passing the empathy test with flying colors. He is a merciful, compassionate high priest like us who's ready and willing to help. So empathy check, tick. So we can draw near with confident assurance. But that doesn't quite answer the question of whether he's qualified to help. Or even more than that, whether he's able to save us even through the greatest enemy, the problem of death. Well, the great thing is that we can know he can ultimately save us because, point two, we can draw near with confidence because Jesus can save us. He was appointed. He was appointed. And Jesus is the right man for the job. When you're looking for that website or that plumber, you look for that registered tick, don't you? That's the tick to show that he's been approved by the Plumbers Association or whatever it is to get the job done. Well, wonderfully, we know Jesus can help because he's God's certified guy. And that's what we see here. We know Jesus can help because he's a high priest who has been appointed by God. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Like the high priests in the Old Testament, Jesus was chosen by God. But Jesus' appointment is superior to the Old Testament high priest because in verses 5 and 6, we see two appointments. God appoints his son Jesus and king and great high priest. Let's read verses 5 and 6. So, also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, and he quotes from Psalm 2 in the Old Testament, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he quotes from Psalm 110, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." God appoints Jesus as son, which is God's Bible way of saying his king, and also his priest, the one who can help the people come to God at the same time. Jesus' appointment as high priest is superior to the Old Testament system. It's of an entirely different order to those priests that have come before. The order of Melchizedek, don't worry, I imagine in the Hebrew series somebody's going to do a lot on Melchizedek. But the order of Melchizedek as priest, who will last forever, is unlike the other priests, because what happened to the other priests? They died. They all died. But why was Jesus appointed? Well, because Jesus overcame where all the other priests failed. Look at verses 7 to 10 with me. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he had suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Jesus knows our temptations, but he knows the greatest temptation when faced with the wrath, the judgment of God for our sin. Now, Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted, and thankfully and wonderfully, in that moment, he prayed with loud cries and tears, and he overcame. He showed obedience, reverence, and that's why God has appointed him. And that is why Jesus is legitimate. That is why he is qualified, through his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, where he sat down at the right hand of the Father, becoming a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God appointed him because he was reverent right to the end. He is legitimate. Tick. And that's why God raised and appointed him a perfect high priest. He is qualified. Tick. And because Jesus was saved from death, that means he's able to save us from death. Tick. And look at verse 9 and 10. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus became our source of salvation when he was appointed at his resurrection. So how is Jesus going with kind of God's accredited high priest rating? Is Jesus qualified to save us and bring us home? You betcha. And not even death can stop us from making it to the end. Because Jesus was raised from death, he can save us from death. He's God's guy who can do it. And he comes with God's triple crown accreditation. So to go back to our question, is the Christian completely equipped to make it to the end of the Christian life? Well, yes. Because of Jesus, with complete confidence, because Jesus, our great high priest, is 100% legit to help us home. So what does it mean now as we are on this journey home as Christians? Well, it means that we can draw near with confidence to Jesus for help. Now, if you're someone here who wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, where do you look for help? And how is that going for you? Here we see that Jesus is able to help, and not just through life, but through death. Jesus can help, so draw near with confidence. Now for us, as we for Christians who are finding life hard at the moment, well, tomorrow morning when it's hard, what should you do? You should keep drawing near to Jesus. When you're tempted to give up and go back to how you used to live beforehand, draw near. When following Jesus is costly, draw near. Don't pull back. Don't go quiet. Don't try to handle it on your own. Draw near to Jesus, because he knows exactly what you're going through. And he isn't distant. He is completely able to bring you home, even through death. He knows, he empathizes, he's not unqualified, he's appointed, he's able to save. So don't make Jesus your last resort, and make him your first response, again and again and again. Draw near. The one, he is the one who already has and the one who will already bring you home. Well, allow me to lead us in prayer. Using the prayer of verses 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen.
Tom, thanks very much.